Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The moment man fell into sin, the Bible tells us in Genesis that Adam and Eve were frightened. They hid from God. Before there was sin, there was no need for Adam and Eve to be afraid because they had not done anything wrong. They can commune with God face to face without any intermediary. No need for a mediator. They can go directly to God and commune with Him and He with them. But the moment sin entered into man's heart, fear now grips us. And that grip of fear in us has not diminished. We are still a group of fearful people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom that will lead us to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a good kind of fear. But there is the other kind of fear that will cripple us, that will stop us from obeying the Word of God, that will stop us from standing up for Christ, even though the Holy Spirit may be convicting us. But we resist and we allow fear to grip us. And there are many things in life that frightens us. The loss of jobs, because we fear that we cannot provide for ourselves and for our families. The loss of health, because we do not want to be immobile, to become a burden to anyone. The fear of death, of course, the ultimate fear. People can also frighten us. There are some people who deliberately frighten us using their power, their authority, and their demeanor to frighten us into submission. And therefore, it is true that we are all fearful people. We fear bugs. We fear so many things in life, all of us, in one way or another. And therefore, as believers, we must no longer allow fear to grip us, because now there is another person that is at stake when we are frightened, when we disobey the Word of God because of fear. And that person is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had in His benevolence given us the honor to bear His holy name. And everywhere you go, that is exactly what you are doing, calling yourself a believer. From place to place you go, the name of Jesus Christ is being spread from place to place wherever you go and leave behind an impression. The question is there going to be an impression of Christ or an impression of yourself? Is there going to be an impression for Christ in the positive sense, whereby it is a blessing and not a curse? And so we have the Apostle Paul in prison. And before he dives into the issue at hand, and that would be some of the believers in the church in Philippi trying to get him to be jealous because he is now in prison. They are now free to preach the gospel far and wide because now it is their turn, they believe, to be as well known as the Apostle Paul as an evangelist. But now that Paul is in prison, his days of freedom, evangelism, and preaching the Word of God is over. It is now our time to take over the fame that comes with preaching the gospel from city to city. And so the Apostle Paul had to nip this in the bud, and before he delved into that, he highlighted the importance of courage. Why he was in prison. It takes a lot of courage to surrender your freedom, to trust God to take care of your loved ones in your absence. We all know that. And sometimes when we toy with the idea, right now, when we are free, when there is no one arresting, we just toy with the idea, what if I am asked or forced to make a choice, imprisonment or recant Christ and you are free? Would I be able to hold on to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in situations like this or not? And so we will contemplate and toy with this theoretical experience. And most of the time, we are nervous, and perhaps we might even ask the Lord, please do not allow me to be in that situation. And yet the Lord has assured us, when it is time for you to make such a choice, do not fear, do not worry. My grace will be sufficient for you to make the right decision and the right choice. And so this kind of theoretical behavior, putting yourself into a situation in theory, like persecution, that requires courage. And most of the time, we think we will fail. Right? So do not try to contemplate such situation. But take them when it comes on a day-to-day basis. And so the Apostle Paul now tells us the first impact of his biblical courage was basically on himself. That is the key, isn't it? But I would, ye should understand, and the word would there describe a will that was deliberate. I deliberately want to inform you, want you to know this. Okay? Know what, brethren? That the things which happened unto me, that is the imprisonment, the incarceration, the entire journey that we can read and study in the book of Acts, how he had been told in advance before the end of his third missionary journey, don't go to Caesarea, because from there you're going to be arrested and you're going to be in prison in Jerusalem. You're going to be betrayed. Don't go to Caesarea, because from Caesarea, Paul wanted to travel on land to Jerusalem, and they warned him, don't go. The virgin daughters who were prophetesses of Philip, where he stayed, Agabus also came along and said, using this girdle that he took from the Apostle Paul, this girdle, this man will be bound. And so Luke was there, and they begged him, and they even cried, don't go, please, we love you, we want you to be here. And Paul knew that this was God's will for him, because the Lord already told him, you're going to be in Rome witnessing for me. And so he said, don't weep for me. I am not only ready to go to prison for Christ, but also to die for him. And so they stopped weeping. They sent him off. And he went, true enough, he was arrested one by one in front of the provincial kings, from Festus to Felix to Agrippa, one by one. He explained and he defended, and then even to the mob. All he did was to share the gospel time and time again. That's all that he understood. What the world needs from him is not that the Apostle Paul becomes a free man. If God's will is for him to be in prison he would freely, happily, willingly go. And that's what he did. And every step of the way, all he did was to preach the gospel. On the way to Rome, shipwreck, he preached the gospel. Shipwreck onto an island, Miletus, also preached the gospel. That's his calling, his burden. And so now, in prison, he shared that what happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. This was his heart's desire. And so the impact on the Apostle Paul must have been tremendous. Physically, bodily, in prison, could not go anywhere under house arrest. And you and I would think that the gospel would be bound, because there is no more Apostle Paul bringing the gospel far and wide. But you and I know that there was a reason, right? Why the Apostle Paul was arrested after the end of mission trip number 3. And not mission trip number 2. Or not mission trip number 4. By the end of the third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul's fame, the Apostle Paul's impact as a free man, preaching the gospel from city to city, and then revisiting some of these churches that the Lord helped him to found in the first and second missionary journey, to establish and to deepen their faith. His reputation had already spread far and wide. There was no need for the Apostle Paul to individually, physically go from city to city any longer. The Lord had a better plan. I want this servant of mine to be incarcerated in Rome. And by his courage to give up his freedom for Christ, had resulted in the furtherance of the gospel that his freedom as a free man was not able to accomplish. But as a prisoner, bodily, physically, he was bound, he was stopped, he was stuck in Rome. But his reputation, his courage, many people who knew him, who heard of him. You know this evangelist who founded the churches in the province of Galatia in Asia Minor. And then this same evangelist also brought the gospel to us in Thessalonica, in Philippi, in Corinth, in all these cities. And he gave us the word of God and how he was with us and how he was persecuted and how he remained courageous. And now he's in prison. Why? For the faith. For the faith. You know what that would do to the Apostle Paul's heart? This was his only reason for living in the world, out there. Of course, with his own people in the churches, he would be happy to teach them the whole counsel of God, which he shared with us in Acts 20 that he did, whenever opportunity arose. For him to stay in one spot more than a few weeks, which was probably his average. And therefore, when you study the book of Acts and those times when he was able to stay in this city or that city for a year or two, those were precious moments, I'm sure, with the great Apostle Paul there living in the city where you are. Every night he could teach you the word of God, and you can sit at his feet and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn night after night. It must have been a tremendous experience, don't you agree? But now he is in prison. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. And the gospel, even from these individuals who preached with the wrong motive, thank God they did not tamper with the gospel. The motive was wrong. But the gospel they preached was still according to Scripture. And even though it came from the lips of people who preach with the wrong motive, but as long as the gospel was preached in its entirety according to Scripture, the Apostle Paul rejoiced. The gospel spread far and wide while he was physically bound. It must cause him to realize that the most important thing in every believer's life is to do the will of God. Don't second guess God. Don't think that, well, Lord, the gospel must be preached when I am a free man. If I am not a free man, how is the gospel going to spread far and wide? Your duty and my duty is never to second guess God. Whatever God has convicted you and told you to do in your heart of hearts, according to Scripture, according to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, you must do it. You and I do not know the future. The Lord not only knows the future, He controls the future. Our responsibility is to obey Him step by step, day by day, moment by moment, event by event. And in this context, for the Apostle Paul, go to prison for my sake. And he went. I'm sure he was told by Luke and all the rest, we need you to be a free man. We need you to bring the gospel to many more cities. I'm sure they will use all kinds of arguments and reason to tell him to change his mind. Please stay on earth for as long as possible and be a free man. We love you. We need you. Stay. But the Lord's conviction was very clear in his heart. Go to Jerusalem and be arrested, and you will be in Rome. And so he went. He did not allow anyone to argue and change his mind once he knew that this was exactly where God wanted him to be. You and I know that after salvation, the most important thing in our lives is to fulfill God's will. The purpose for our existence, the purpose for our salvation, the purpose for our life. Isn't it? Once you know that, you know your life is so rich and so full because you know that this is why God has created you. For him, the Apostle Paul, first to be a persecutor, and then to be saved, and to be the greatest preacher the Christian world had ever known. And he knew that this was what God had created him to do. Into the world, he would preach the gospel. Into the church, he would teach them the whole counsel of God and to build them up in the faith. And as long as the Lord gives him time and strength on this earth, he knew what his purpose was meant to be. For King David to be king. For Samuel to be a prophet. All of them knew exactly the purpose of their existence in Christ. Do you? Do you or not? The impact of biblical courage will reveal that to you. We all know what courage is like. And sometimes it is step by step, baby steps, and we don't even know it until much, much later. When I was in my previous church, there was an incident that happened when my previous church joined venture with another church to buy a piece of land. And because it is a congregational church, they needed the congregation to vote on it. And so during this annual or ECM emergency congregational meeting, the leaders made a proposal because they needed a lot of money to buy the land as well as to build the building on the land. And so the leaders came out with a paper to encourage the members to give or to loan to God. When I received the paper, I was disturbed. I was a young architect at the time. I graduated and I was working. But after work at night, I would sit at the dining table after dinner to study the Bible, because I was burdened and convicted that we should not tell people to loan. Why? I do not know. I need to study the scripture. And so I studied two passages, one on the tabernacle construction and the other the temple construction. And both of them were very, very clear, where Moses told the people through the Lord's instruction, those who are willing, let them give. It was the same in the time of King David and King Solomon, when they encouraged the people, those who are willing, give. There was no mention of loan or anything. And so this burden became heavier and heavier and heavier, until the Lord caused me to write a paper, which I've never written before. I was an architect, not a theologian. And so I wrote a paper planning to read it out during the ECM. And so by the time the ECM came, and so the leaders made their proposal, very, very sheepishly full of fear. I'm not used to speaking in public. I am a very quiet, shy person, very scared to stand in front of a crowd. There were about 300 over people. It's not a big church. And so I stood up, and then I started reading. I prayed very hard for the Lord. Lord, please help me to control my temper. I have a hot temper, so that I will not get upset and angry. And so I started reading, and I believe I was extremely boring because I was scared and nervous. And so after I did that, halfway through, someone shouted from the back, "Sit down!" So I sat down sheepishly. Then another person stood up and said, "Son, you have every right as a member to say what he needs to say." And so the leaders were confused. And so they took a vote. Should Son, you continue or not? So I raised their hand. I continued. I got up. I was about to finish. I think I put everybody to sleep. So the interruption was quite good, actually, to wake them up. And so after I finished, they said, "Okay, what is your proposal?" I said, I didn't know I was going to make a proposal. So I said, "All right, I used by the same statement of the leaders, I minus the word loan. I believe we should only ask people to give, not loan. Because to loan is an insult to God. Everything we have belongs to God. And then now we say to the Lord, I loan you, okay? And then to make it even worse, to put salt on open wound, I don't charge you interest, okay, God? So I was very convicted. And so I gave my view, and so now the congregation voted. How many for Swan Yu? 8 hands. 300 over, all against. And that was it. But I learned one important lesson. Later on into the ministry, after the Lord has called me into the ministry, all the Lord wanted us to do is to speak up, no matter how scared you are. That's it. The consequence and the outcome, that's beyond my control. I have to leave that to God. Do I felt humiliated? Of course. Only 8 people supported my position, the rest against. And then to be shouted to sit down, sure, I didn't like it at all. But I thank God the Lord helped me not to lose my temper. I quietly sat down, I was going to speak, I stood up, I finished. When the voting came, they voted. ECM was over, and that was it. But the lesson I learned, speak up. I never realized how important that lesson was until many, many years later. And so throughout the ministry, since I finished my studies when I returned from America in 1992, all I need to do, Lord, is to speak up. Anything that you see that is wrong according to Scripture, you have to speak up. But what if they do this and do that to me? You just speak up. You trust me. Whatever the consequence might be, they want to take you to court and sue you, I will take care. They want to use all kinds of words to hammer you and to slander against you, don't worry, I will take care. You just do what you need to do. What others will do to you, you can't control. You can't control what comes out of their mouth. You can't control what their hand's going to do. I can, God says. That's all you need to do, to speak up. But if you do not speak up and you know what is right, and then on the day of judgment, you know what the consequence will be, right? Their blood will be on your head. That's what the impact on self, on the Apostle Paul. He was prepared to go to prison for Christ, not in theory, in the head, but in reality. That needs courage. You and I know we all love freedom. No, who doesn't love freedom, isn't it? We all do. And nobody likes to go to prison, to be told when to wake up, when to sleep, everything. Your freedom is absolutely taken away from you. This is part of us, love for freedom. And yet for Christ's sake, are you prepared to give it up? He did. To know in his heart of hearts, before he was in prison in Rome, you ask the Apostle Paul, how courageous are you? Well, I'm courageous enough to be stoned. I'm courageous enough to be whipped, to be ostracized. All my friends that I had during my persecution years are now my enemies. I'm prepared. He dare not and could not say. Imprisonment in Rome. But once he was a prisoner in Rome, you ask him again, how courageous are you, Apostle Paul? Courageous enough by the grace and mercies of God to spend the remaining years of my life as a prisoner for Christ. He could now testify that from his heart with conviction. That's why the impact on courage must begin with us. Very important to let you know the reality of your faith and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ more than your freedom, even your own life, which was basically what he did. And then the impact on the outreach. If you think that the outreach, the reaching out of the gospel far and near, is dependent upon your physical presence, then you are most incorrect. The spread of the gospel is not dependent upon our freedom, our ability to fly from point A to point B, now today with airline travel. The spread of the gospel is always by the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. You think that if you fly to a country and then you can what? Found a church. And then you have a lot of money, you can buy a church building. You have someone maybe in mind who may be theologically trained, and then you plump in there. Now you have a nice, comfortable, big building of a church with air condition and everything, and then you have this person who's theologically trained, now put there to pastor the church and to look after it, and you give him all the financial support, all the financial backing, but the building is empty. And then he will go out and then he will give out tract and preach the gospel and share. Nobody comes. Well, you have a building, you have the theologian, you have the preacher, but nobody comes. So your presence there, you think it will make a difference? You think when the Apostle Paul arrived in Philippi, Thessalonica and Corinth, it is the Apostle Paul that founded the church? Yeah, he may be the one that people see as the founder, but the real founder is none other than God himself. The impact on the outreach to help us realize and understand that sure, we are asked to go, we listen to the Macedonian call, we should go. But never forget, the founder of every church is none other than Jesus Christ himself alone. Not us and Christ. Christ alone. Because we don't want a church to be covered and filled with goats. You can use all kinds of gimmicks to lure people in. But are they born again? No. What's the point? Salvation is of the Lord alone. And that's what the church is, isn't it? The church is the people, not the building. You can buy the building, you can decorate it and make it very comfortable, but the people are not there. And that's why, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, you see? How can the gospel be spread at the level of the palace? Seriously. As long as the Apostle Paul is on the other side of the vast Roman Empire, that is Asia Minor, Palestine, Syria, and so on, or even Greece, the gospel will never reach the palace the way that God had intended. But to be a prisoner in Rome and with the heart of the Apostle Paul, where he is completely 100% burdened with the gospel everywhere he went. The Lord knew that this servant of mine, even when I put him in prison, took away his freedom of mobility to travel from point A to point B, I know the gospel will be preached and spread far and wide by this man. Because you can incarcerate him, but you can never incarcerate the gospel as long as there are servants of God who has the courage to preach them. Soldiers will come to make sure that he doesn't leave his house. Oh, he can have visitors, and I'm sure the visitors who visit him will be taking the gospel out with them. But the soldiers in particular, I'm sure the Apostle Paul would preach the gospel to every soldier that they sent to guard him. And what do you think the gospel, what do you think the soldiers will do with the gospel? Some will be saved, some may not be saved, but they all have been given the gospel. And I'm sure the soldiers will share with one another, this prisoner is different from all the other prisoners that we have guarded. This one is strange, he's so nice, he's so kind, he always share the gospel with us. Oh, you also experienced the gospel? Yeah, I did. One by one, it spread. And once they are born again, you know what happened when a soldier becomes a Christian. He will share with his fellow soldiers, and then the gospel will spread far and wide. All the Apostle Paul need to do would be to share the gospel with a handful, and that handful will multiply into many, many more. That's why the gospel in all the palace. Do you think the princes, Caesar and all the rest would also be given the gospel? I'm sure. and all other places outside of the palace as well in Rome. The power of the gospel is not dependent upon our freedom of movement. It is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And if the Lord's will for you in spreading the gospel is by your incarceration, be strong and be very courageous to obey the will of the Lord in your life. And you can just simply sit back, trust in Him, even though you may be languishing in prison. The gospel will spread, because the outreach is the Lord's work and the Lord's doing. Sure, God can send you on mission trips, but you must never ever forget that you and I can go around the whole world and share the gospel. But the Lord alone is the one who will found churches, who will start churches, because salvation is of the Lord. You can go all you want, but without His blessing, it will be in vain. The church is not about the building. The building is useful because it provides us with all the comfortable environment for Christian activities, worship, fellowship, Bible study, prayer, and all the rest. But never forget, the church is you. Each and every one of you, if you are truly born again in Christ. Wasn't that how you all, how I also came to know Christ? Through another believer, through someone who may have written a tract, through someone who may have given you the word of God, whoever. That's how the gospel has been spreading since the beginning of the fall of man. From the national witness to the church witness, it's always the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Scripture, with the power of the Spirit of God bringing conviction and conversion. It is always the Lord's work. The impact must begin with self, so that you will truly know the purpose of your life, your existence, and your calling and your ministry. The impact of biblical courage in outreach, spread far and wide. And then, lastly, verse 14, the impact on others, on the courage of others. In other words, they piggyback their courage on your courage. They piggyback their courage on the Apostle Paul's courage, because they look up to him. He was their spiritual father. That's how important it is. Yourself, the spread, and on others. And many of the brethren in the Lord, believers now, unbelievers probably, they don't care. But believers, waxing confident in my bonds. If the Apostle Paul, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they love dearly, can give up his freedom for Christ and not be afraid of death, with God's help, I would like to do the same. And that's what happened, isn't it? Wax confident in by my bonds, because of his courage. So many of them who knew him, who heard of him, also became very courageous, much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see that? Imagine the other way round. Imagine if the great Apostle Paul, whom they adored, whom they looked up to, was a coward. He preferred his freedom than incarceration. If you listen to what they begged him to do in Acts 20, don't go. And he did not go. What do you think would be the outcome? Oh, he's scared. He fled and he ran away. He didn't want to go to prison, even though the Lord told him. What do you think will happen to the courage of all the other believers when the one that they look up to, when the one who gave them the gospel, when the one who taught them the word of God to increase their faith and to help them to become mature in the faith, and then he becomes a coward? You and I know that the impact on biblical courage, if you don't have it, the impact will still be there, but it's the negative. If the Apostle Paul was frightened, so will his followers. They all will be frightened like him. But when the leader like Paul was courageous, you see the impact. Those who were not bold now became very bold. They were no longer afraid. They will speak up. They will share the gospel. And if they have to do everything the Apostle Paul did, they will prepare for it. You and I know that losing your freedom would also include losing everything else you own. Once you go to prison, your job is gone. How are you going to provide for your family? You're going to trust the Lord to provide. You have to. How the Lord will provide for your family, you may not need to know, but you know the Lord will take care. That's faith, isn't it? And don't use your children and your family as an excuse to be a coward. Some of us do that. And then your children, your family now become a curse and not a blessing because of them. You use them as an excuse to disobey the Lord, which is a sin in your life. And because of the Apostle Paul's courage, many of them were also prepared to lose their freedom and their life. That was the cost they paid in those days. And we need this kind of courage today, in the last days, than at any time, in my opinion, in church history. People who are prepared to give up everything for Christ. Are you? Remember the teaching of Jesus Christ. Faithful in the least, you'll be faithful in the much. Giving your life and your freedom is the much. So don't say, I am prepared to give up much. However, on a day-to-day basis, you're not even prepared to be faithful in the least. That will not cost you your freedom, definitely not your life. And you are not even courageous enough to stand up for Christ. And all you will lose is your face. Right? All you lose is your face. Giving a track to this Grab driver. And you're scared. What's the worst that can happen? A track only, you know. He rejects it. That's it. What do you lose? Nothing. You're still free. You can still have your job. You can still go home to your family. That's it. Faithful in the least. You'll be faithful in the much. All these are little tests. In your workplace, in your school. Are you prepared to stand up for Christ amongst your classmates? In the face of your teacher, whereby you may be mocked. And what's the worst that can happen? You fail a particular subject here and there because the teacher mocked you. And your comprehension, you do not get your A. You're supposed to get your A, you got your B. So what's the price? From an A to a B or a C. That's it. You still have your freedom. You still have your life. Faithful in the least, faithful in the much. And you go to office. All you need to do is to speak up. And your boss may shout at you, lose your face. You may not get your bonus and your promotion. And he purposely promote your junior over you. Maybe to force you to resign so that they can save money on no retrenchment. Because retrenchment, you got benefits. And so, what are you going to do? Because of money, because of this loss of face and loss of promotion, you give up Christ? Faithful in the least, faithful in the much. Because there are people who lean upon your courage in order for them to be courageous. You don't have to put up a signboard anywhere. That as long as you are a leader in one way or another, as a parent, your children, as the leader in any fellowship, and of course the session, the congregation, their courage depends on yours. Are you prepared to be courageous all the days of your life? For Jesus' sake. Because the impact of your courage on others will be tremendous. And the spread of the gospel will be far and wide. Especially in today's technology. You don't need to know that. The Lord will do the furtherance. Trust Him. And the impact to yourself, your walk with Christ, your conscience, your peace of mind, and to know in your heart of hearts that you truly love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, because you are prepared to lose everything for Christ, just as you have experienced how Christ gave up everything for you, and now you count it a privilege and an honor to be counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. And you would go willingly with the joy of the Lord in your heart and with the strength of the Lord as your courage. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize how important biblical courage is in every believer's life. First to ourselves, to make sure of our salvation, and to know in our heart of hearts that we truly love the Lord more than our own lives, our own freedom. And the impact in the spread of the gospel and the truth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be amazing. And people that we know and care for hear of our courage, they too will be strengthened and be courageous in the inner man to be bold in the spread of the gospel because of the courage of God's children. Help us to realize, O Lord, in these last days that courageous Christians are more needed than at any time in the history of the church. May all of us be found faithful and be courageous, and none of us will be found wanting and be a coward. O Lord, help us wherever we are, at home, at work, in school, and in church. May we find the courage within our heart to stand up for Jesus Christ, so that they will be able to hear the word of Christ and see Christ in our lives, and glorify our Father who art in heaven, but becoming believers themselves. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.